Speaking on this program is Bill Boyd.
And this morning, what I want to do is spend a few minutes talking about one of the great themes in the Bible, and that is about the blood of Christ. Now, when we talk about blood, that's not a very pleasant topic. The smell of blood can make you sick, and the sight of blood can make you faint. And yet, we know that blood is important, an indispensable part of life. I understand in the human body, there's about 5 to 6 quarts of blood that we have. And this blood is so necessary to all of our systems. It would be hard to imagine how something like blood could have just happened, isn't it? It's another one of those things that just demand a designer and a creator. All the things done by blood, it transports food to your cells, and it's an oxygen transport system. It is a waste management system. It's part of the immune system. And it's part of the temperature regulation system. If you get hot today and you're sweating, well, you can thank your blood for that sweat to keep you cool. It's taking that heat from the inside of the body, transferring it out to the outside. And yet, if you get too cold, that blood will contract and pull the heat on the inside to help protect you. It's an amazing system. And part of so much, it is indispensable to life. And the Bible says in Leviticus 17 and verse 11 that the life of the flesh is in the blood. And so when we talk about shedding blood, we're talking about taking life. But it's not just physical life. Blood is important to spiritual life. And let's go through a few passages to illustrate that or to touch that. And this is by no means all of them, just a few. Matthew 26:28, Christ said, "This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." Romans 5:9, "Much more than being justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him." Ephesians 1:7 and Colossians 1:4, "In whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins." Hebrews 9:12, "Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood, He entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us." Hebrews 9:22, "Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission." Hebrews 13:12, "Wherefore Jesus also, that He might sanctify the people with His own blood, suffered without the gate." 1 Peter 1, 18 and 19. "You're not redeemed with corruptible things, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without spot and without blemish." 1 John 1 and verse 7. "The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin." Revelation 1 and verse 5. "Unto Him who loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood." Now, there's just a few of the passages that show there's such an emphasis on that in the New Testament about the blood of Christ. Now, it says that God has set Him forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood. That word propitiation is a word which means it's the satisfaction of the wrath of God. And that wrath, not an emotional outburst of God, but that wrath that comes from the sense of God as being just. Adam and Eve were placed in the Garden of Eden, and they sinned, spoiling God's creation. David Lipscomb said that the earth was changed from an outer court of heaven into an antechamber of hell. And sin requires the consequences of sin. And it was Adam and Eve that sinned. And yet God, out of His love for man whom He had made in His own image, did not want them to have to suffer those consequences, and interposed the blood of His Son to satisfy the requirements of justice that comes from sin, thereby not compromising the character of God, but also enabling Him to show His great love toward us, in that we could be saved. Now I want to talk about the blood. The blood in the Bible story. The blood in the Testament. The blood in the church. The blood in obedience. And the blood and baptism. And so the blood in the Bible story. Adam and Eve were naked and ashamed in the Garden of Eden, trying to put leaves together to hide themselves. And God clothed them in skins. And the implication of that would be then that there was blood shed. Something had to die to cover their nakedness because of their iniquity. Abel's sacrifice was more acceptable than Cain's. It was an animal sacrifice. And while the details of that are not given, that animal sacrifice was acceptable unto God, and that was a sacrifice that required the shedding of blood. Noah, when he loaded two of each kind of the animals into the ark, loaded seven pairs of the clean animals, because when Noah was to come out of that ark, they were to use those clean animals in sacrifice, shedding their blood as they gave their thanks to God. When the children of Israel were in the land of Egypt, and the plague of death was going to come on the land, he told them that to escape the plague of death that would come on the firstborn, they were to remain in their house and to slay a lamb and take the blood and put it on the post and the frame of their door. And God said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And they came to Mount Sinai, and God gave them instructions concerning the temple, the tabernacle, and later then of the temple, and all the instruments thereof. And He said, you take a lamb, and you sacrifice the animal, and you take hyssop, and you dip it in the blood, and you sprinkle it on the temple, and you sprinkle it on the altar, and all the furniture of the altar, and then sprinkle it on the people, and sprinkle it on the priests, because all things are to be set apart. They are to be sanctified by blood. And from that stream of blood that began at Mount Sinai, those priests continued to offer those animal sacrifices. And I don't know if you could compute the gallons and gallons and gallons and gallons and gallons of blood that was shed to remind man of their sin. And it required a consequence. And so the blood is shed, and that stream of blood flows throughout the Old Testament until we come to the New Testament. And there is John the Baptist at the Jordan River, and he sees the Son of God, and he says, behold, the Lamb of God. Anticipating that He was going to be slain, and His blood would be shed for our sins. And it was shed on that cross when He was scourged on His back and that crown of thorns placed on His head and those nails through His hands and His feet. And He hung dripping on that cross until that last breath He said, it is finished. And then He died, and the soldier took a spear and pierced it into His side. Out came forth blood and water. And it continues, because before He died, He gave us this supper. He said, you remember that blood. And this cup that you take, it's the communion of the blood of Christ. And you do it till He come. And so that story continues this morning. And it will continue in the future among the faithful, remembering that blood until He comes. There's a connection between the blood and the testament. It says in Matthew 26:28, this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for the remission of sins. 1 Corinthians 11:25, this is the cup of the New Testament. In my blood. A testament is a will. It is the will of Christ. That will would come in force when Christ would die, when He would shed His blood. It was the blood that put that testament into power. In Hebrews 9:15-17, He is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the remission of the transgressions which were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For where a testament is, there is also of necessity of the death of a testator, for a testament is of no force until after men are dead. Otherwise, it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. And so we know that a will or a testament comes into force when the person dies. And so people say, well, you don't have to obey the gospel to be saved. What about the thief on the cross? And he died before that testament was in place. That's why we're not under the laws and the ordinances and the rules of the Old Testament because Jesus shed His blood. And so the force of the New Testament, it is now in play because of the blood of Christ. Let's talk about the blood in the church. Somebody says the church is not important. I can put something else in front of the church. I don't want to have to go to church. And it says in Ephesians 5:25 that Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. And it says in Acts 20 and verse 28, to feed the church which He hath purchased with His own blood. And yes, there's the blood in the church. Let me tell you how important the church is. If you're going to be in Christ, you're going to be in the church. The blood of Christ is in His body, but not His physical blood in His physical body. We're talking about His spiritual body, the church. You know what the blood does for you? I cut my finger yesterday. It's just about healed. That blood carries what is necessary to the parts of my body to take care of the things that I inflict on my body that cause it damage and heals it and protects it. And if we want to receive the forgiveness of God, we're not living perfect lives. We get bad attitudes. We say the wrong things. We foul up along the way and we don't put first things first. And yet God loves us and He forgives us. If we'll be part of His body, and 1 John 1:17 says, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. That's His church. That's our fellowship in His church. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from sin. We remain faithful to God by remaining faithful to His church. And all those errors we make all along the way, His blood continues and continues and continues to cleanse. So yes, the church is important because of the blood of Christ. There's a connection between blood and obedience. And I'm not talking about the obedience of man here, but the obedience of our Lord. It says in 1 Peter 1:22 that we are elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. There's the Father's role. Through sanctification of the Spirit. There's the Holy Spirit. Unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Christ. That's the obedience of Christ. Christ shed His blood. It wasn't that His life was taken. He shed His blood. And He went willingly to the cross in obedience to His Father. And some of the most precious words in the Bible, those words He uttered at the garden when He said, "Oh, my Father, if it be possible to let this cup pass from Me, nevertheless, not as I will, but as Thou wilt." As You said in our prayer, "As Thou wilt." And so there's a connection between the obedience of Christ and the shedding of His blood. And so there's a connection then between blood and baptism. If the obedience of Christ was important enough for Him to shed His blood, don't you think God wants us to obey? Would obedience not be important on our part? We read in Romans 6, verse 3 and 4, "Know ye not that as many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death?" Our Lord shed His blood at His death. The spiritual benefits that are ours through the blood of Christ are available to us in His death. And when we are baptized into His death, we're baptized into the benefits that were procured to us by His death. It says, we were baptized into Jesus Christ, we're baptized into death, therefore being buried with Him by baptism into death. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. The connection comes at the cross and in His death where His blood was shed. But there's another connection. Revelation 1 and verse 5 says, talking about Jesus, that He washed us from our sins in His blood. And that helps us understand then when Ananias told Saul in Acts 22:16 to be baptized and wash away thy sins. It's not the water washing away your sins. At best, water could only put away the filth of the flesh. But the filth of the soul is washed away by the blood of Christ. But it's washed away by the blood of Christ when we are baptized into Christ and into His death. But there's another connection, and that's what we talked about on being in the body of Christ. We have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from our sins. That's by being part of the body of Christ. But 1 Corinthians 12:13 says, "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body." And so there's the blood of Christ. The blood in the Bible story. The blood and the significance of the testaments. His blood and the importance of the church. How His blood is associated with His obedience. And how His blood saves us in baptism. And so, the offer and the invitation this morning is to take that gift of salvation that is ours by the blood of Christ. To enjoy its benefits. It has been given, but it must be received. And so receive that blood and walk in that light.